the Rookie Five live stream number 7. This one is anything but the actual point. I've been in the trenches of gender war for a very long time now. I've engaged with feminists, both female and male. I've seen rhetoric that they put out, and to date, the number of times I've seen a feminist or a feminist ally address an actual issue with the manosphere and have an actual honest discussion about the issue can be counted on literally just one hand. In fact, the only time I can literally have seen it go down was when there was a moderator there and both of them tied in around Cassie J's Take the Red Pill documentary. You know, for the most part, they simply won't address the point. Honestly, on the show tonight, since I will bring up, at least to the best of my memory, events that stand out for this. I will also get into personalities before principles as well. They will, for instance, talk about the men in the manosphere and their personalities at all times, all the time, but they will seldom bring issues of the points they raise except to mark them or reverse them around and make it about themselves or make the men wrong for bringing it up. There is a serious, I am not kidding you when I tell you that I have seen that I can count the number of times this has happened on one hand. There was a debate one time between Karen Strawn and a woman that Femtheist Divine. That was an honest debate. Karen Strawn is really smart at making her points on screen, but she was not really a good debater, and she actually had a hard time with Femtheist Divine. The other time I seen it happen was when they had, I can't even remember his name now, but they had him on, it was when Cassie J did the Red Pill documentary, and they had him on, I can't remember what the guy's name was now, but they had Paul Elam on the other side, and they were having an honest discussion. And that was the guy, I can't even remember his name, Larry Kimmel, I think his name is, was extremely nervous, and he didn't do particularly well, mostly because, it's like when this happens, they have to make the rhetoric stand out. And the only other time I can remember it happening was when, Karen Strawn. It's kind of weird how they always seem to pick the women to have these debates with, by the way. That was an issue where the moderator kept interrupting. Now, I've seen Rolo Tomasi have, I think, one debate. Again, I've never seen it. The highlights I've seen, and of course, all of the people who have a stick up their ass about the manosphere have said things about it, saying that Rolo Tomasi lost. And Lauren Southern, when she brought this up, put a video up that made it look like Rolo Tomasi had lost. I have not been able to find that particular video anywhere. If somebody knows where to find it, please feel free to let me know. Because I've never been able to find it. The big issue that comes up for me around this is that this is not just lack of an honest debate. I mean, if you try to discuss this issue, and I have discussed this issue like 2 or 3 times, because I do have to go online. And what will typically happen is that you will get this either faux alpha, or you'll get a male feminist, or you'll get an absolutely full-blown feminist. They will come onto a manosphere site, and they will start flaming away. The moment that particular person has to face off against legit questions or hard facts, or that person has to start answering facts or issues in a way that, you know, challenges their beliefs, that they usually did. They will resort to one of two things. They'll either resort to ad hominem. They will just simply refuse to answer, or, you know, they will try to make you the bad guy for asking the question in the first place. And, you know, at this point, given what I have seen over the years, I'm really kind of at a loss to except to indicate that a pattern has clearly emerged here. And that pattern clearly indicates that there is not really going to be any really serious attempts at having a discussion about this issue with feminists, right? They're at the point of ignoring. They're past the point of ignoring us. They're literally at the point where they can't. They're still trying to laugh at us, but I mean, it's kind of hard to start laughing at somebody when the membership of the Manosphere is now up in the millions in North America, and you've got J.D. Vance and Elon Musk and mainstream news sources quoting Manosphere content without, by the way, actually acknowledging that it's Manosphere content on their shows. I mean, it's very difficult. Or in another particular case that happened quite just a couple of years ago, where Trudeau was literally too scared to actually say the word MGTOW. And this is, I mean, yeah, you have to take and make notes of moments like that. The whole thing about that is that, you know, when somebody is acting like this, you know, where they have nothing but rhetoric and have nothing to back up that rhetoric except with more rhetoric, or to deflect it back upon you to make you look like you're the bad guy. And they've been doing it, and they haven't been doing, this is not a recent thing that has just occurred in the last few months. This is something that has existed well over a decade now, since I've been involved in the Manosphere. And I've been involved in the Manosphere, like I say, I've been in the trenches for about a dozen years now. Like, I know what to look for. There is an absolute outright refusal of feminists to address the issues either on their side of the line or to even try to acknowledge. Because, I mean, the problem is that if they acknowledge that there's an imbalance there, that would require, again, this goes back to the whole accountability thing. If they have to acknowledge that there's an imbalance there, that means that they would have to actually make an effort to fix the problem, which would require work, which would require accountability, which would require a lot of people putting a lot of other people on the spot and going, why did you? It is much easier. And this is something that I've seen a lot of addicts do. You know, like, they will continue to do what they're going to continue to do right up into the point where it's like they literally have no other choice but to either seek treatment, be ostracized by their entire family, or die. One of the three. And you got to take a look at all of this. And, you know, just wonder. Like, this is not a long-term, this is definitely not a long-term strategy for feminists and women in general to be carrying on. Now, the most recent example of this that I'm going to bring up was the most recent show that I can remember on the Whatever podcast. There are highlights of this particular show all over the internet. And the big issue about what happened with this particular show is that this one, obviously, she was supposedly a comedian and a feminist. And she, like a lot of women on, and I will actually get into Fresh and Fit here in just a couple of minutes here. She was given an incredibly long piece of rope to answer a simple question. And she refused to do it. And she kept refusing to do it until they had no point choice. And she also kept trying to monopolize the conversation until they really had no choice but to boot her. After they booted her, she refused to leave. And she started getting insulting and whatever, and didn't, again, right? It was at the point where she finally left. That's where Andrew finally piped up at her, and that's where she went over and threatened Andrew, and that's when the thing really boiled over. That's that minute or so towards the end. But you meet a lot of people, and this is something that I ran into with this particular show, right? A lot of people were attacking Andrew for doing what he did. Now, did Andrew maybe go a little bit over the top? Did Andrew maybe get a little bit childish? Did Andrew maybe get a little bit insulting? Yeah, maybe. But in the heat of the moment and knowing how incredibly, massively, willfully ignorant and disrespectful this woman had been, not only to the two hosts, but also to the other women that were sitting on that panel. This is not really what happened on that show, was not really all that surprising. You know, you got to understand something. This is a prime example of women that just will simply refuse to address the point and will do anything other than try to address the point. The one next one that's immediately coming up for me was Rolo Tomasi and Kate Gate. The whole thing around Rolo Tomasi and Kate Gate was Lucia, I can't remember her name. It was the start of 2024, and she made a cake. And she's a supposedly Christian conservative woman, a good old Christian conservative woman. And I mean, I will freely admit, she had a body that could cause multivehicular pileups. The way she was making the cake in a rather tight sweater and in a rather suggestive way, and the camera angles were clearly focused on her chest and not on the cake. And Roland called that out. The net result is that you had both her and, by the way, I will point out, a lot of people and a lot of cucks on the right run in and defend her, most of whom you would like literally show them the picture of this woman. Oh, just hold on a second. Maybe I can find it here. I'm going to be looking it up as I talk along here. And it reached the point where Rolo Tomasi's daughter actually got doxxed as a result of this. And, you know, again, right, there was zero acknowledgement on the issue by the woman at hand. There was also zero acknowledgement by any of the right-wing conservative cucks to actually, even though their photo was clearly presented and people could clearly see what she was doing, there was a lot of willful ignorance on the part of a lot of the men that were defending her. Again, a simple refusal to address the point, you know, which was that she was using her sexuality to get attention to herself, and it wasn't about baking the cake. It was about putting her chesticles up on display. Yeah, all right, I'm actually on X right now. I'm going to take a look and try to remember, see if I can't find this anywhere. Oh, yes, this one as well. Okay, so I'm looking for it here. Can't really find, I can't, Isabella DeLuca or something like that. I can't remember her name, but anyway, there's an issue. But here's the really weird part about it. As I'm going through this, you know, again, right? As I'm looking through this and looking through the Rolo Tomasi stuff, I mean, you know, they focused on one. There was this thing about getting a vasectomy in your 20s, and there was a lot of people who focused on that and would not focus on any of the other points that he was raising along the way. And this really kind of, you know, like, again, right? I mean, there were a lot of other points that he could have used to talk about being a high value man. I mean, he explained what he meant by the vasectomy, but nobody actually wanted to acknowledge what the actual issue was. And, you know, again, this is everything to do with the fact that, you know, it's like they will talk about, in particular with this particular issue here. You know, there's clearly you can't really look at this and not interpret it as anything other than people who know that their rhetoric is based simply on nothing. And the moment they have to step out and defend it, they fail, and they have to go and get YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or Google, and they have to get these particular social media sites to actually block any response, or they will simply block the responses themselves and will simply fall back on the triggered response, right? By the way, you know, if you're somebody who's like that, and you try to engage in that particular type of a move, that's not really a very intelligent argument, right? Like, think about it. I mean, I got my two listeners listening to me right now, which is a bit of a miracle, because, I mean, honestly, I wasn't expecting anybody to be, oh, no, I'm down to one. All right. One person listening to me right now. And if that one person, you know, I'm talking hypothetically here, if I were to go into this guy's house or get into this guy's space and start throwing insults at that person, you know, with no respect or disregard of this person's issues or this person's background or anything about him, and he got angry and he started to get back in my face about it, you know, he would be quite justified in doing that, you know, like, but somehow, you know, when this happens, you know, you get the triggered. And again, right, you know, they just run. And now there's another video that I literally saw last night done by What If Alt History. He was talking about the disease of the left. And about how leftists, not liberals, leftists, they are different, are falling back on how their arguments are beginning to not work. And the arguments are beginning to not work because the censorship complex is no longer allowing them to work. Right? The only way, they really don't have any other choice but to keep arguing and artistically screeching. Because if they have to actually put those arguments out up on the table, you know, and actually have a legit discussion about them, they would find out that they don't really have much of a hill to stand on, first of all. And even if, I mean, the only way they could make, and this is something that I've seen a guy by the name of Destiny do quite a bit, the only way you could actually make them work is to actually have someone like, say, Destiny, for instance, go in and make up things about or twist the facts around to make 2 + 2 = 5. Now, yeah, you know, the group that, like I said before, the group that does consistently practice this type of behavior. Actually, there's two groups that I've seen practice this particular type of behavior. That is the psychopaths and the addicts. And, well, you might throw in compulsive liars in there as well, but I mean, that's, you know, that's a mental condition. But I mean, addicts and psychopaths also have mental conditions. And in the case of addicts, you know, they will like sit there and listen to your story, and they will listen to you present your argument to the point of where it's absolutely beyond refutation. They will go, yeah, you're right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, I mean, this actually happened to a friend of mine once. He went over to a sponsee's house of his. This is a program, 12-step stuff. He went in. This guy had recently relapsed. He sat down with them, and they had a legit, earnest, face-to-face, honest-to-goodness discussion about the issues that he was facing. Sat there for 45 minutes, had this discussion, shook hands. The guy got up, left, and suddenly realized that he'd left his gloves on the table. He walked back into the place and saw the guy, like, literally snorting coke, like, less than the minute after he had left the place, after they had had a really serious discussion about this issue, about his addiction and where it was going to take him, what it was going to do. Suffice to say, the guy was not going to be it. The guy immediately fired him as a sponsee. That's the level of delusion that these people will have, right? Like, you can't expect a psychopath to understand something, because a psychopath just is, like, mentally and emotionally unable to empathize with other people. But I mean, feminists, you know, it's like, yeah, you show them, you physically sometimes show them the evidence. And this is the thing. And this is, remember, I was going to talk to you about whatever. We're going to get back to whatever. This is what I'm talking to you about, whatever, right? One of the excuses that feminists use is that there's a concerted, coordinated attempt between men in the manosphere to smear women and make them look bad. Now, everybody who's been around for a while, or at least I want to assume anybody who's been around for a while, knows that the best form of propaganda when dealing with feminists, or even in general with female behavior, is stand and point. I am hard pressed to come up with a show that exemplifies the stand in point narrative better than the Whatever Podcast Impression Fit. And there's people, there's male feminists, there's even trad cucks, there's, you know, blue pill conservatives, there's, you know, there's a lot of groups out there that look at what is going on Whatever, and, you know, based upon the fact that both Whatever and Fresh and Fit are now up to a few hundred episodes, and they never seem to run out of, and this is the point about this show, and this is something that I've seen critics about this show not talk about. They won't talk about the fact that there's been hundreds of women on both of these shows. Each one of these women has a support group of female friends, female coworkers, sisters, mothers, etc., 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 right? That are the basis around which these women have formed their opinions. The ones that they're being so stupid about and the ones they keep talking about. And by the way, it's not necessarily every single woman on every single show that does this. But I mean, you never see the critics of these two shows ever point that out. It's like, oh, well, these women aren't examples of women in general because they're Instagram models or their OnlyFans models or their former porn stars or whatever. And that's not necessarily true. That is not necessarily true. And yeah, you're right. The average woman on those shows is not an Instagram model. The average woman is not a porn, does not do porn. The average woman in the world does not strip for a living, does not escort for a living. You're absolutely right. That being said, and this is something that I have yet to see a lot of people outside of the manosphere point out, is A, these women are going there willingly to promote their OnlyFans or their Instagram, and that all of these women have female support groups behind them, the likes of which are giving them the opinions that they are giving. At this point, if you take that extended group and you project it out, you're talking about a half of potentially anywhere between a quarter to a half a million other women that have either directly or indirectly influenced one of the women on that show. You know, those are numbers that, from a scientific basis or from a polling standpoint, qualify as a significant sample. And if you don't like that, well, you know what? That's not my problem, right? That's your problem. Right? And in a lot of cases, they will not discuss the issue. I had an individual here, and by the way, I haven't brought him up tonight. I probably will bring up Andrew Tate at some point. And by the way, I'm just going to point this out about Andrew Tate. Knowing the situation with Andrew Tate does not make me a fanboy. But I had a woman not 2 days ago start waving her finger at me because I had a familiarity with the Andrew Tate case. You want to know something about me and Andrew Tate? You know, I knew who he was. I had heard some of the things that he said. I knew he was in the manosphere. But I mean, I didn't, and I never have, listen to Tate on a regular basis. The only reason I became familiar with Tate is because when he got arrested and charged in Romania, somebody or multiple people started coming onto Manosphere sites on Facebook and started openly gloating about it and talking about my hero, which he is not, because I barely even knew the guy. I had to get familiar with some of the stuff that went on with Andrew Tate because I saw multiple people being knowingly and again, right, willfully ignorant. Now, I have explained things about Tate to the nth degree with individuals, and they still will refuse to acknowledge the points. You know, like, here's one for you. Like, the charges against him in Romania have been dropped. I don't care if you like that. I really don't care myself. The only thing that happened is that people made me have to pay attention to it because they kept bringing this guy up. That's the reason why I know so much about him, because other people not in the manosphere brought this person up and started acting like his arrest was some kind of an O. And again, you know, when I discuss Tate, they will only discuss the criminal charges that have been dropped, by the way, again, against him. Or they will talk about something that he allegedly said because he slept with a woman that was legal in that country that may have been illegal in the West or something like that. I'm not super familiar with that. The big issue here is that, you know, like, they will talk about anything, but when I start getting into the nuts and bolts of the case, you know, they will get angry, they will get vindictive, they will get nasty, they will start yelling and screaming and acting like toddlers, but they will do anything other than address the actual issue. Right? And the actual issues are the Romanian government appears to have, one of the big ones is the Romanian government, somebody in the Romanian government appears to have been paid off to do this. The two women that accused him of doing this to him were allowed to freely come and go from the mansion even when he wasn't there. And when the case against him dropped, instead of going home to be comforted by their family, they somehow had enough money to go to the French Riviera, for a week. Anybody here want to discuss that? Anybody want to get to that point? Anybody want to discuss the point that the mainstream media has lied about Trump, about the vaccines, about school shooters, about election results, about polls, about almost everything, but somehow, magically, they're telling you the truth when it comes to Andrew Tate? Does anybody here want to discuss that as an issue? No, you don't. When I discuss this issue, they want to talk about the fact. They want to talk about him. They don't want to talk about the issues that he raised. They don't want to talk about some of the things that he said on his shows. They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about the criminal charges that have been filed against him. They want to talk about anything again, but the actual point. And even when you address the actual point, they will do anything other than acknowledge it. So, yeah, here's your acknowledgement for you. The charges against him were dropped. Sorry. And again, I got to say this again, being familiar with the story behind it does not make me a fanboy. I saw something very similar happen to Paul Elam. Paul Elam used to have a drug problem. They tried to use that against him. And again, they would do anything other than address the point with him, which is the fact that he is no longer using and he has been clean for years. Now, they wanted to try to twist facts around. They wanted to talk about his relationship with his daughter. They wanted to talk about his past. They wanted to talk about how he almost ended up in jail. They want to talk about that stuff. They don't want to talk about the issues that Polyulum raises. You know, because if they talk about the issues that Polyulum raises, they'll get absolutely destroyed. And this is the ultimate point I think a lot of people seem to be missing about this topic, is that the fact that these, again, what feminists have and what SJWs have is rhetoric. They don't have any actual facts. Now, I'm going to go off on a bit of a side tangent here, and I'm going to talk about Warhammer 40K. Now, Warhammer 40K did something really, really stupid. They brought in female Adeptus Custodes. They decided to disrespect the lore. You have individuals, you literally have a woke hammer contingent inside Game Workshop, inside the game itself. And even though the game itself does not lend itself to woke, these individuals will continuously scream about the need for there to be woke content in a universe where woke definitely would not work. And you try to make the case about them, and they will go, "Oh, well, it's just fictional." Okay, then we'll make Black Panther white. Then would you like that? Yeah. Suddenly they go quiet, or they try to talk about it, or they talk. It's like they will again. They do anything other than address the actual fact of the case, which is that there is a very well established lore. And no, you don't change that fucking lore just to fit a modern audience. You know, Warhammer, if they tried to wokeify Warhammer, it wouldn't work. Why would it not work? Because, my dear friends, the universe of Warhammer is over the top. It's bloody. It's ugly. It's gritty. It's dangerous. It's not a very, I don't think a human who knows anything about the lore of Warhammer, but the world of Warhammer would actually want to live in it. Not as a human, anyway. Not even necessarily. As a noble. And you try to bring this up with them, and you will be called a sexist, a homophobe, an istophobe, or whatever the fuck you want to throw at me. But again, they will, or they will say, "Oh, well, it's just lore. It can be changed." It's like, no, it can't. So it's not lore. It can't be changed. Lore can't be changed. Because if you change the lore, especially in a setting like Warhammer 40K, and you try to make a TV series or a movie based on altered lore, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get major pushback, and the show is not going to do well. But these people will be simply be delusional. So, yes, they're, you know, name calling, deflection, projection, they will, accusations. I swear to God, this has actually happened to me like three times in the career that I've been doing podcasting. I have literally been called a Nazi and a Jew in the same week, three different times. You got to be a real hardcore centrist to actually have that happen, by the way. The issue here is that, I mean, you know, and when I was younger, I would engage in this myself. I'm losing the argument, therefore I have to start yelling and screaming to make any kind of a point at all, because I have no other point. So again, I'm kind of talking around in circles here about this issue, you know. They will do anything other than actually address the point, and don't expect them to address the point. Now, that is difficult to accept. And it's also potentially a very freeing concept for you, right? Because if you know that you can't really rationalize with these people, then you can go on to the next part, which is to take that irrationality and take that insanity and use it against them. This is what happens, by the way, on Fresh and Fit and whatever. Now, when we get into Fresh and Fit, and I remember I was going to get into Fresh and Fit here. Again, the same rule things, a lot of the same arguments for Fresh and Fit, for whatever, also fit under Fresh and Fit. Nobody is forcing these girls to show up. They're using the now proven and rock solid tactic of just stand and point. And the people who are critics of the show will try to get into the fact that the head guy over at Fresh and Fit is gay, or that he's an undercover fed, or that he is controlled opposition, Myron Gaines, I mean. They will do anything, again, other than address the issues that he is bringing up. And again, why do they do that? Because they don't have any other arguments to pose, right? Like if somebody is going to post up something in the low bar, in the comments about this particular podcast, those arguments are going to be about me being paranoid, being boring, being whatever, but they will not in any form, shape, or capacity ever actually address the main point or the main issue, which is, of course, in this case, the fact that they will do anything other than address the actual point. Know this. Understand that you're not dealing with a person who, especially if they've proven themselves to be indoctrinated or that they're a feminist, or just know that you're not actually going to deal with somebody that is going to see it your way. They're not going to listen. They're not going to understand. They're not going to, they're there to yell and scream and make noise and hope that hopefully along the way that in the process of making that noise, you won't notice the fact that they didn't actually address the point in any form or capacity. Now, I understand here at this point that I'm probably talking in circles, that I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again. And it's sort of like, well, why the hell doesn't Naroki just shut up? But I mean, this is the point, though. You need to see this. You need to know this. You know, because I've seen this happen with so many personalities on YouTube. They will attack them, but they will attack them. They won't attack the actual person making the point. They won't attack Steve Carell. They won't discuss what Steve Carell said. They won't discuss what Stefan Molyneux said. They won't discuss what Paul Leland said or Rollo Tomasi or Hammerhand. You know, they will call Hammerhand a white supremacist and a neo-Nazi, but they won't actually address the points that he's trying to make. They will call Undead Chronic a wimp and a hypocrite and a coward, even though he has debated multiple people and invited them on his show, rather than actually talk about what he's saying. I could go on and on and on and on about this. Someday, they'll be talking about me. You know, what do you do with a group of people that refuse to even have a rational and civilized discussion about this? Well, again, the first part about this is just simply accept that you're not going to have a rational, civilized discussion about them. That's the reason why I never go over to feminist boards, even though I have seen some massively stunned, stupid comments on feminist groups. In fact, I have a series called Memes, 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 where people have actually taken feminist memes and put them out outside of the group to show how insane they are. And I mean, I will probably be doing that sometime in the next couple of few days. And no, I don't go looking for those. The reason why I have a lot of them, but I don't go looking for them. They just find their way to my feed. You know, when you see the behavior, for instance, on Memes, 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 and you look at it, and it's sort of like you're, and again, when you see, just remember, I don't go looking for these. I find these in my feed. You know, and when you look at the complete delusion and detachment from reality that these individuals have, you know, like, I get it. Sometimes the chick might be hot that you're dealing with, but it's like, you know, or somebody, this might be a friend of yours from years and years ago. It's sort of like, you know, it's really hard to walk away from somebody like that, but they're not gonna, they just won't listen to reason. They want to be ignorant. They want to be stupid. They will fight, injure people, and potentially even die to keep that myth going rather than address the fact that there is a problem. Again, I'm going to refer back to that Matrix scene when Morpheus and Neo were walking down the street and encountering the woman in red. You know, like, I'm not saying that every individual you've seen who is that indoctrinated is going to fight viciously like that. But I mean, when you see somebody fighting viciously like that, I mean, you have to make a decision. Like, do you want to keep talking to this person? Do you want to try to keep reasoning with the person? Or do you just want to walk the fuck away and get on with the rest of your life, right? Go do your own thing. Go MGTOW. Huh? Yeah. And again, when I talk about MGTOW, right? Oh, well, it's gay. I mean, never mind the fact that there's a very solid percentage of guys who went MGTOW after their wives, when they had kids with them, divorced them. Or there's people that have just figured it out. And again, right, when I challenge people on that issue, right, when I force them to actually have a point about this issue, they will simply double down and say the same thing over again, like saying it over again for the nth time is going to somehow make it true. It doesn't. It doesn't. And if they are in a MGTOW space, I will go out of my way to make them look as fucking stupid as humanly possible. Not that they need help, because just like with feminists, these people usually do it to themselves. All right, I could tell you when there's like very little compatibility with homosexuality in MGTOW, and it's not because it's a bunch of guys hiding their closeted homosexuality and decided that it's better to, no, right? They're doing it because, you know, they've seen the reality of the situation and they know what's going on. And they know that any interaction with a woman will potentially hand that woman a metaphorical gun that she can use on you at any point in time in the future, including decades later. Do you see any of these critics actually acknowledge that point? I have yet to encounter one. like ever. So, yeah, you know, I could just go on and on and on and on and on about this, but I mean, it's like, you know, why bother? And I mean, I'm probably running the risk of talking myself out here. You know, like, yeah, personalities before principles, you know, getting to the point or actually addressing the point, like refusing to consider other issues. And again, Yuri Bezmenov talked about this as well, right? This is stuff that you have to consider and you have to keep in mind, right? You cannot just sit down and have a pleasant conversation with a lot of these people because they will not listen. In fact, in a lot of cases, sometimes these people will get outright violent, right? Look after yourself first, right? My strategy, and I think the one I think that a lot of you need to keep in mind here, is that, you know, unless they come into our space and start throwing around insults, there's no point in even trying to talk to them, right? Just make them look like idiots, laugh at them, ridicule them, make them look stupid. And if they're too stupid to figure out what's been happening, what's going on to them, and they stick around, well, you know what? They got it coming to them. So, yeah. Somehow I managed to keep this going on for almost 51 minutes. I hope the one person who decided to stick around enjoyed it. I will be doing a memes episode next, but yeah. They're not going to acknowledge the point. They will not address the issue. Just accept it. Just deal with it. Just understand it. Just embrace it. And with that embracing of that issue, know that because they're choosing to be, and actually proudly choosing to be, willfully ignorant and stupid or an asshole about it, that you can treat them in such a manner and that you're not a bad person for doing so. In fact, in doing so, you might actually be creating an environment for a person that's new, that's just discovering the manosphere for the first time. You might be creating a space that could literally save that person's life, and you'll never know it. So be vigilant, my brothers. Stay awake, my brothers. Just remember that these individuals are going to hold out right to the very end. They will never acknowledge that they did something wrong or they said something wrong, and they will keep making excuses. Some of them will keep making excuses for themselves long after they've been discredited because they will never be able to admit they did anything wrong. So, yep, my Patreon is in the low bar. My Patreon is also in the low bar of the actual move screen. I hope you enjoyed this. This is a bit of a short one for me. Like, subscribe. Like I said, I am at BitChute, Rumble, obviously, Odyssey, MGTOW TV, Brighteon, and of course, yeah, I'm also on YouTube. Not really a big fan of YouTube, but I'm on YouTube. Because I mean, apparently there's some stuff on here that I'm on that I haven't actually talked about for a while. I'm at Tumblr. How about that? Oh yeah, Gab, Minds, Facebook, MeWe, Instagram. Usually as either Naroki 5 or as some version of Naroki. Like, subscribe. I will talk to you later. And I hope you enjoyed this. And I hope you got something out of this. And if I were trying to be popular, I would be appealing to the idiots, and I'm not interested in appealing to the idiots. Thank you very much.